They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
First, inflation hit the housing sector. Now, so is the fight against inflation. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. A big part of the 8.3% inflation we had in August was rising home prices and rents. But the Federal Reserve's fight to control inflation by raising interest rates, that's hitting housing in a different way. It's driving up mortgages. Last week, the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage reached over 6%, first time it's been that high in more than a decade. Builders are pessimistic, according to surveys. Construction of new homes is down sharply, and so are sales of existing homes. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Ask housing economists what it's like now for first-time buyers, and you hear words like,
"It's the worst time to buy a home in a very long time."
They're stuck between a rock and a hard place, both higher prices after all the price appreciation of the last 2 years, and now higher interest payments in their mortgage.
That's Chris Mayer at Columbia Business School and Jeff Tucker at Zillow. Tucker says there is a silver lining, at least for buyers who haven't given up looking, in spite of high home prices and mortgage rates.
The buyers who are left are facing less competition, less likely to be in a multiple offer situation.
Less demand for homes could put a damper on price increases, but Columbia's Chris Mayer says a lot of sellers would rather take their homes off the market than give up the profit they've been expecting.
I wouldn't be surprised to see sales volume fall further, to see some price declines, but limited.
And he says that's not a great market for first-time home buyers. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
All right, let's check the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 4 to 5/10% range, with the Dow future down 111 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.534%. So we have this series called Econ Extra Credit. It is where we watch one documentary film a month with marketplace themes. This time we are watching the documentary film Slay the Dragon. It is all about gerrymandering. That's where election maps are drawn to favor one political party over another. How is that a marketplace theme, you may ask? Where is the money in that? Well, one 2018 study took a look at gerrymandering from an economic perspective, specifically looking at lending and borrowing. Researchers delved into nearly two decades of census and credit data and find that in districts that have funky political boundaries, consumers lose access to credit. For more on this, we're joined by Raleigh Heimer, Associate Professor of Finance at the Carey School of Business at Arizona State University and one of the co-authors of the study. He spoke with Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio.
You found an association between districts drawn with funky boundaries for partisan purposes and the ability to borrow money?
That's correct. So we found a connection between people who were essentially moved from districts that were more competitive to ones that were essentially safe because of political redistricting. And we found that people who were redrawn into other districts that were less competitive ended up losing access to credit relative to what they had before.
So less access to credit in plainer English is it's a little harder to borrow if you've been moved into one of these redrawn districts.
That's correct. It becomes more difficult for an individual to borrow. And specifically, it's not the case that everyone is encountering more difficulties. So for example, if you have high incomes, you have really high credit scores, you're always going to be able to borrow. But the effect that we looked at was mainly for people who are in sort of the middle range, who are, on the margins of being able to get credit from a traditional lender versus those that are not. And so it's these people who are in the middle who really lose out in this because of no longer having the benefits of being in districts that are more competitive.
What are some of the theories as to what the mechanism of this might be?
That's a great question. There's a few mechanisms potentially at play behind this. Elected officials, they have the ear of local businesses, including lenders. And so lenders, therefore, have incentive to make decisions that benefit those politicians, including by increasing credit supply. So when a politician is insulated from political competition because of redistricting, lenders have less motivation to prioritize services to constituents. Lenders can allocate credit to other districts or potentially prioritize financial services to the most profitable business segments, such as the most well-off constituents.
So it's possible that lenders are thinking they're not going to get leaned on as much by elected officials if the elected officials don't have to be all that responsive to the voters because there's no way the party in power is going to get booted out.
That's exactly correct. And in part, it takes a little deeper knowledge of what makes lenders profitable. In particular, they often are sort of forced into lending to less well-off populations because of a set of federal regulations that have been in play for years. And so when lenders are able to concentrate their efforts on sort of more well-off communities, then they're sort of less leaned upon by the bureaucracy. And so therefore, politicians that have less competition, ones that have been put into districts that are no longer competitive, they pretty much are able to back off of those districts. They have less incentive to help them out.
Raleigh Heimer is an associate professor of finance at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State, who co-authored the paper titled Pushing Boundaries, Political Redistricting and Consumer Credit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for taking an interest in our work.
And we'll leave today with a sign of just how global the inflation problem is. Sweden's central bank just raised rates by a full percent. And the one major economy on the planet where inflation was not an issue, Japan, that's changed. Japan's inflation rate jumped in August to 3%, highest level since 1991. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.